Hi, Alison.
Hi, Carl.
You've been doing some work on academic advising and talking to staff about how they're coping with all this academic advising online. And online, I think that you've come up with some useful issues and problems that you'd like to share with us.
About them today, and I'm really hoping that maybe anybody who listens to this might send you in some ideas or activities or resources they use and would be willing to talk about those, about how they're doing it well, or even just some vague ideas about how we might do it in a blended way. So I'm hoping other people will respond later. Yeah, I think the first thing that's come out is that we can't assume that both students and staff have the equipment set up for remote working. And I know that's a side issue, but it's a really important
Absolutely.
One. Both the technology, the computers, but also things like a suitable space and a suitable living context. So not everybody is somewhere where they can set up for remote working, or they have the space, the time, if they're caring, if they've got responsibilities, if their partner is ill, if their child is ill. And especially we've come across people where someone in their family's hospitalised. So there are lots of things going on that space isn't just a physical space, but a kind of psychological space to work. And that's, I don't think we can make assumptions about that everybody's ready to do it, and that needs a lot of work. I think specific things to do with students and academic advising, one of them is to do with all the first years has passed and progressed, and it's been very hard to maintain contact with those. And there's a question about what does that mean? Is that a good thing because they're all off doing things, or is that a bad thing that they're all worried? So there's a question about online support, responding to emails, responding to Zoom offers, responding to offers of other kinds of support. If they don't reply, what does that mean? When it's non-attendance, you usually follow that up.
But Absolutely.
You don't know if you're annoying them because they're having a really hard time, or if it's helpful to say, oh, I notice you have... I'm not sure, and staff don't seem to be sure about that. And you've done a lot getting them working over the summer. And what have you done about that?
I've been in contact with a lot of them using Zoom. And the ones I spoke to, some are having a really bad time because they're at home with their parents, and some are all people that they don't really want to be at home with. And some are not answering the Zoom at all, not wanting to talk to me, and they're not replying to emails. I've just sent an email out at level six to ask them three questions about GD, and I've had two responses out of 60. So they're not actually, you know, engaging with my questioning, what I'm asking. The Zoom ones were pretty good. A lot of them were pretty good, but some of them were really, really down. Yeah, and there's nothing I can do. That's the other side of this answer. I'm frustrated because there's nothing I can really do. I can speak to them and say, oh, yeah, I can help you academically. I can help you try and do your research. I can talk to you, make you feel a bit better, cheer you up sort of thing, especially if I'm in a good mood anyway, if I'm in a good place. But in end, there's not a lot I can do. So one or two of them have turned around and said, we've got all summer to go. So what I've done is I've produced reading lists for level 4 to 5 and level 5 to 6 by going into individual modules and taking the first few weeks of what they're recovering and taking PDFs and Word documents that they can actually introduce them to the content and context of that module. So hopefully that'll give them a bit of a balance, a bit of something to keep hold of in these times.
That's great, Carl. Also, I think there's something, I've come across students who would like to be at home and are currently in shared houses, so it can go either way.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wish we'd gone home quicker, but I think in line with that, what's interesting is the third years and my postgrad students are really happy just to have a phone call to talk to someone. They don't seem to want any help, but they just want someone who they're not living with to talk to about either how they're living, but also just tell me how they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm planning this next week.
Yeah.
I've got my dissertation done. I'm starting on just to kind of get out of their head, almost like their work plan or their, and so next time we catch up, they say, oh, I've done more than I planned, or I haven't done enough as I planned. So it's that kind of just having an external person to voice, but that's mostly been the third years and the postgrads.
Yeah, input. They want a little input, don't they? Yeah, they want some input. And I've just had a Zoom meeting before speaking to you today with a student, a level five student, who's incredibly positive and incredibly, you know, organised and saying, I want to do something graduate and I don't know what to do. Do you know anything about it? And I said, no, not really. You need to speak to one of our employability advisors. So she's gone away to do that. But she were actually, that's what she phoned, but for 25 minutes, she was just going on and on. And I were listening. It were quite nice to listen to her. But you're right, Alison. I think there is a potential of keeping in touch with level sixes, level fives, level fours, just to see that they're going on all right. And what I was getting at is a lot of them spoke to me, but there were one or two that were really unhappy. But there were most of them were okay, they were doing fine. But there were some that were really unhappy, and it's that I found difficult to deal with because there's nothing I could do.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think the bit that I would do if we were face to face is I would do all of these in 5 or 10 minutes kind of catch-ups, because what academics are able to do well is just normalize the third year. It's tough, it's stressful, you're in the last bit of this marathon, keep going, and I promise you, you get through it. I've seen hundreds of students do it. And there's nothing about what you're saying that makes me worry for you. But also that lovely thing about looking forward. I've also had students wanting careers, and I've sent them things to connect with the university careers because they want to talk through ideas or postgrad. Or so that the third year, the final year, and the postgrad seem to be working a lot better. So it's good to hear your level fives are staying in touch as well.
But level fours... totally lost level fours. They've all gone. Can't get in touch with any of them.
I think the other thing that I've personally found hard, and a few other people were saying at the staff drop-ins, is that one of the things that we do routinely, if we have classroom sessions, is you notice things. So you might say, it might be somebody who's not very good at coming, and you just say, you look really fed up, or you look really tired. And I'm finding with Zoom or phone that there isn't that immediate intuitive sense that somebody's struggling, you might not be very good at asking for help. So I just keep saying, please do ask, please. But I'm not sure that's not the same as a real human going. I've noticed you look like you're having a tough time. Is anything going on? So I think I worry a little bit about some of that. And oddly, some students who have a kind of sense of themselves as they should be able to cope, they should be able to deal with it. And from the outside, they actually are having really tough times anyway.
Yeah.
And we're trying to support them all the way through. But they're really hard to... Normally, I would pick that up intuitively, but it's really hard to do by my own. I think the other thing is there's a lot of concern about September. There's a lot of concern about if we're blended learning or all online, how much work that's going to take, importance academic advising takes, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on us to make it work. And how do we socialise people into online and blended working? How do we help them meet each other and connect and build supportive friendships and peer relationships? And for returners at level 5-6, and also any postgrad returners, how do we manage their expectations when they're used to seeing us and they might actually see it as a loss? And I think there's a lot of concern about this. And we don't know what to do yet. The university is looking at resources. And I'd be really keen if other people elsewhere around the AT sector are doing anything on this, that they would be willing to share it with you in a later blog. And even if it's just questions.
That would be very good.
That would be great. And the only other bit I've got to say is that one of our postgrad tutors, Jane, she set up a Zoom session and she muted herself, blanked herself halfway through and said, I'm sorry, guys, I need to go for a cup of tea. And when she came back, they were all chatting to each other As soon as she started, they all shut up again. But so we've had conversations about how can we, I think you used the term linger button.
Yeah.
How can we get a linger so people can hang around, talk to you after or talk to each other. And we're trying to share ideas
Giving them some time on their own, Alison, is quite a good idea, I think. If you do half the teaching and then leave it a bit, let them talk to each other. When you come back, there's a renewed... But like I say, I think Jane's got... Were they international students?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a cultural thing there, isn't there, as well, that you have to face.
It can be for some of them, yes. Right, yeah. But I think also... I think somebody was saying in a different meeting I was in that they're fed up with students blanking themselves. I don't mind that at all. And they were saying, is it to do with anxiety or is it? I thought afterwards, I think it's often to do with seeing yourself online. That's a weird, like, do I really? So I think it partially could be issues around anxiety, and that might be helpful if you don't want to see yourself or you don't want other people to see you. But I think also it's a bit weird seeing yourself online.
It is. I'm seeing myself now. I'm doing this Zoom meeting, and I know we're not recording it. We're doing it through my phone. But I can see your. I mean, we had a laugh yesterday at the meeting, the staff meeting, with backgrounds. And where do you sit? Or is it, you know, some sitting on a crate with no table? You sat there with your wonderful recorder there. What is that? Is that a toy one or is it real?
It's a toy one, yeah. Yeah. But I think it's also that people who've got children are getting up and walking around because they can't find a quiet space in the house.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of movement going on in these Zooms. So I think there is some things about how do we make that work? And I'm not sure we know yet because it's all quite new to us. How do we make it work in a way that's really useful and not just transferring what we've been doing to the classroom online? What are the qualities of these systems that we can use to our advantage? So if anybody's out there, please do come and share with us what you're doing. And I think, Carl, are your details on the blog?
So they are.
So get in touch with Carl.
Please.
Sector-wide sharing of good practice or ideas or anything creative anyone's doing, we would really appreciate that.
And we could put it up on blog. We could put it up on blog, can't we, Alison? And we can share it with everybody else as well. So anybody with any other ideas to some of these issues that me and Alison have just talked, well, Alison's just talked about, really, please, please do get in touch. Alison, thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Carl.
Take care.
Take care.